Morning. Today's daf is Chaf Zayin in Bechoros. We're starting the new perek, the fourth perek of Bechoros. Ad kam Yisroel chayavam litapa bechor. Okay. How long do you have to take care of the bechor? The bechor, when born into your flock, is then given to a kohen. We've spoken about this many times, obviously. It's the main topic of our mesechta. Barring, of course, the first perek, which talks about bechor behema tmeya, the firstborn donkeys. But you have to give it to a kohen, so it becomes his. Now, there are really separation of two periods of times: when there is a Beis HaMikdash and when there's no Beis HaMikdash. When there's a Beis HaMikdash, so you give it to the kohen and he brings it as a karban. Plain and simple. And it's taken care of right away. And obviously, as a karban, you follow the basic structure of a karban of lo se'acher, do not delay it, should be brought within the first year. We'll talk more about that as we go through the discussion. Tomorrow, really, we will get into the topic of how quickly should the animal be brought as a carbon. But what about bismanenu? What about nowadays, where it doesn't have, there's no base in mikdash, but still it has kedushas bechor, so what happens to the animal? So, again, same story, you give it to a kohen. It's still manas kahuna, it still goes to him, but then you're going to wait until it develops a blemish, and then you're nechal bemumo, you eat it while it is a blemished animal. A bechor, unlike other carbonas, does not need redemption. You just simply eat it bemumo. Okay,
nowadays, no coin.
Huh?
We don't know who's coin nowadays.
Nowadays we have another difficulty, which is we don't know who's a coin. So the recommendation is that you exempt yourself from the animal having kedushas bechor. How do you do so? So we go back to the beginning of the Masechta, and that is that you get a non-Jew to be a part owner of the animal. And as we pointed out in the beginning of the Masechta, he doesn't even need to be a majority shareholder, even a 50% shareholder. Even if he owns a small, small part of the animal, so that immediately exempts him from Kedushas Bechor. And the recommendation is, the Shulchan Aruch says it as well, is that you should really do that. Meaning nowadays, just to obviate the whole issue, you really should have a non-Jew.
Are they doing that in Israel?
I assume they do. I assume they do. Okay. So it's got to be done before it's born.
Basically, anybody
who's a cattle. Right. So he's going to have a... By definition, he's going to have a non-Jewish partner, silent partner, minority partner. Doesn't he have to have a lot of share? Okay, so ad kam Yisroel chayav li patapa b'bechor. But now the Mishnah wants to know, nowadays where it's not brought as a karban, so how long do you have to keep it by you before you give it to the kohen? And that means when you keep it by you, that obviously creates more of a burden and more of a responsibility on you. Because for a certain period of time, an allotment of time, you have to take care of the bechor, you have to watch the bechor, it's your responsibility. For how long? So, bedaka shalshima v'gasa chamishim yom. So, Tanakhama says that if it's a smaller animal, sheep or goat, 30 days. If it's a larger animal, it's got to be 50 days. So, that time period is the amount of time that you are responsible for the animal. After that period of time, then you can give it to the kohen of your choosing. Rabbi Yossi omer bedaka shalshim chadashim. And Rav Yossi says that when it comes to a small animal, it's a three-month period of time. Now, the basic idea, right, you're not going to see this so much in the Gemara. You'll see this in the Rishonim. The basic idea over here is that we're talking about really a baby calf. We're talking about a baby goat, baby sheep. So they're still nursing from their mother. So what you really don't want to do is you don't want to separate mother and its child during that nursing period. And so essentially, meaning the Gemara is going to look for psukim, the Gemara is not going to discuss it in this way that I'm discussing it right now, but essentially what we're doing is we're basically waiting for the nursing period to be over. Okay? That's the basic idea. So for 30 days for a small animal, look, if I were on the ranch and I were dealing with goats and sheep and calves, I'd speak much more comfortably about all this. But the basic idea here is that 30 days for a small animal to finish nursing, 50 days for a larger animal to finish nursing, and Rabbi Yossi, for some reason, disagrees. He says it's a three-month period of time.
Only with small animals.
With small animals. The Gemara...
And he
doesn't seem to disagree with the big ones. Now, the Gemara later on will say what's the rationale behind it is because, I mean, the Gemara's language is going to be he doesn't have teeth, he doesn't develop teeth, which again speaks to the basic idea that for that period of time, he needs to nurse. So you really can't separate mother and the child. And so therefore, for that period of time, you got to keep it by you. That seems to be the underlying reasoning behind the halacha that you need to hold on to it in order to basically allow it to finish its period of nursing. So, Amalo kom besochas man teneo li, harizelo yinenu. Kohen comes over to you within 30 days or 50 days of a small, large animal, respectively. And he says to you, okay, I'll take it. I'll take it from here, so don't do it. So harizelo yinenu lo. So you do not give it to him. The imbal mumhu v'amalo teneo li, shochlenu, mutter. However, if the animal is a balmum and you now know it can be eaten right away, so then you can give it to him right away. He likes to eat calf. He likes to eat veal.
You're not supposed to. I mean, you can have it yourself, no?
Huh?
When it's balmum, you can have it yourself.
Right? No, it's, even if it's a balmum, it's kohen. This is matnas kahuna. This is all gifts of the kohen. And so the only thing you can do, you can sit down with the kohen and eat with him, but it's matnas kahuna. You have an obligation to give it to the kohen. The only time that you don't give it to the kohen is because if there's some doubt as to whether or not it's a bechor, hamotzi mechaver olav araya. So then he needs proof positive. But assuming everyone knows it's a bechor, you have to give it to him.
But
so,
don't you have a choice which kohen?
Of course, you have a choice to which kohen to give it to him.
Why would the kohen come to you and ask you for it?
Because he knows that you have a bechor. You don't have to give it to him. The point the Mishnah is making is that you can give it to him immediately. Meaning the Mishnah started off with the fact that there's a 30 or 50 day waiting period where you have to take care of it. But if it's a balmum, which means that it can be eaten right away, so now you know now that the kohen can basically eat it the moment he gets it. So at that point in time, now you can give it to him. Uvishas hamikdash. Now, this is all bizmanenu, meaning what the Mishnah describes. Interesting. The first halacha the Mishnah describes is how to treat a bechor bizman hazeh. Mishnah was codified, was edited a good two generations after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash destroyed in the year 70. Mishnah is finally penned. Final editing is about the year 200 of the Common Era. So you're talking about approximately two generations later. So the Mishnah starts off by describing what's the halacha nowadays. Nowadays meaning when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Now the Mishnah does backtracking. What if there is a Beis HaMikdash? Uvishas HaMikdash, Yimaya, Tamim, Marmelo, Ten, Ve'akrevenu, Mutter. So the Kohen comes over to you and he says to you, within the time period of 30 or 50 days, he says, give it to me and I'll offer it right away. So you can. Okay? Because he can offer it right away. And so especially considering the fact that it's a non-blemished animal and he can bring it right away, so you can give it to him right away. Good. Okay, all this is now describing the responsibility of the Yisroel. HaBechor Nechal Shana Bishana. Really, you should eat your bechor. Your bechor should be consumed within its first year of its life, meaning count when its birthday was. And so by its first birthday already, the bechor should be eaten. And Bein Tam or Bein Balmum, and it doesn't matter whether we're dealing with a non-blemished bechor or we're dealing with a blemished bechor. By its first year, it should be eaten. Shenemar lefnei Hashem lakecha tochlanu, shana b'shana. Parshas Re'eh, Torah is very clear that it has to be eaten shana b'shana. If it develops a blemish within its first year, so you can keep it for 12 months. But not more than 30 days beyond that. Okay, Gemara is going to explain what all this means, this last part of the Mishnah. We'll get to that part later on. Okay. In the meantime, however, we deal with the first part of the Mishnah. And the first part of Mishnah talks about tipul, being metapel, dealing with your bechor that's born in your flock. So bizmanenu, we have a period of 30 or 50 days, depending on whether it's a small or large animal. Again, Rav Yossi says 3 months. Menahan
emili. If you have these 30 days and 50 days, so why can't, you have the deadline, so why can't they use the wool that's come off the animal?
Because the wool that comes off the animal, the chachamim were afraid. That
no,
if
you have 30 days, uh-huh. These 30 days, you can wait. I mean, so if you can wait 30 days, why not during these 30 days, you can use it?
Use a wool that
yes,
obviously not, you didn't shear, but in other words, just
yeah.
Fell off the animal. Because
yeah,
then, I'm guessing, I'm just, I'm speaking this out, it becomes like a slippery slope. Because if you enjoy that wool, and then after 34, 50 days, you're going to continue to enjoy the wool that comes off, and then you're thinking to yourself, this is a good deal. So as a general rule, the Chachamim said, just no wool. Okay. Okay? So, where do these numbers come from? So, Amrav Kahana Damakra. Now, we're going to darshan psukim. These psukim that we're going to darshan, it's not really going to be clear-cut. The psukim never actually say 30 or 50 days. That's not really what you're going to see, but what you're going to see are hints and allusion, remazin, if you will. And essentially, what the Gemara will say is that this is really all coming to us via the Chachamim, but we're going to attach it to a psuk, to a pasuk. You might want to call this a smachta. I'm not sure if that's really the right way to describe it, but it certainly seems that way. Nah, nimil amrakara damakra. Pasuk goes like this. Let me, because the Gemara is not going to do a good job in giving the psukim in order. Right? The Gemara assumes that we know what the psukim are, and then the Gemara is going to just kind of slice and dice. So the psukim, as they present themselves, Parshas Mishpatim. Perichov Beis, where are we? In the third Aliyah. So, Elohim lo sikalav v'nasibam chalo sa'or. Take care of the judges. Don't curse a judge. Okay. Melei ascha v'dimacha lo se'acher. Melei ascha v'dimacha. Take a look at Rashi in that pasuk. Melei ascha. Things that, once they become ripened. Rashi says, you know what we're talking about over here? Bikurim. Bikurim. Maleacha v'dimatcha lo se'acher. Don't delay them. Okay, and dimacha, says Rashi, is reference to truma. So don't delay them. Okay? Once you've separated them, you have to bring them. Bechor banecha titein li. And bring me your bechor banecha. Okay? Your firstborn sons. Now, of course, Rashi and the pasuk right over there says, what does that mean, bring to me? Well, we're offering our firstborn son? Obviously not. It's talking about redeeming the firstborn son. Kein ta'aseh l'shorcha l'tzonecha. Do the same thing also for your firstborn animals and your firstborn sheep. Shivas yamim ye'im imo, b'yom hashmini titnu li. For 7 days, it hangs out with his mother. On the eighth day, you can bring it. Remember, carbon has to be brought only from the eighth day and on. Prior to that is what we refer to as premature. Okay. Let's go back now to the Gemara. The Gemara quotes these psukim. Mili amar Rav Kahana makra. Bechor banecha titein li. Right? That's pasuk chav tes. And then kein ta'aseh l'tzonecha. Right? That is not a... That's not a direct quote. It says, "Kein ta'aseh l'shorcha l'tzonecha." So, "Bechor banecha titein li kein ta'aseh l'tzonecha, meleacha v'dimacha lo sa'acher, kein ta'aseh l'shorecha." It's really tricky. I hope you appreciate the what we did is in pasuk chavtes we kind of broke it up. Pasuk chavtes says, "Kein ta'aseh l'shorcha l'tzonecha," in references to animals, the large animal and the small animal, the shor and the tzon. In the pasuk prior, it says mileascha v'dimascha. That's a reference to bikurim, and bechor banecha is obviously a reference to the firstborn son. And so, what the Gemara is now doing is it's basically attaching your firstborn animal to one of them, and your firstborn sheep to the other one. And we're kind of crossing a little bit, meaning in pasuk chavches. We talk first about Bikurim, then we talk about Bechor Adam. In Pasuk Chavtes, we talk about Shur, and then we talk about Son. And here's what the Gemara is about to do. The reference to Bikurim, that's Shur. The reference to Bechor Adam, that's Son. The following? Okay. And what do we know about Bikurim? Bikurim, how many days does it take before we bring Bikurim? Correct answer is 50 days. Okay, you're not allowed to bring Bikurim before Shavuos. Right? You start looking at the ripened fruit from the time of Pesach, and then on Shavuos you bring the Bikurim. So that's 50 days later. On as far as Bechor Adam is concerned, so when do you offer your firstborn son? So 30 days. So you see those numbers, 50 and 30? So the Gemara is saying now that what we're doing is we're taking those numbers of Bikurim and Bechor Adam, and we're going to apply them to the next pasuk of Shur and Son. Okay?
But Shore and Son are two different entities?
To Shore and Son now become two different entities. Shore is now going to represent your large animals, and Son is going to represent your small animals. That's how the Gemara is constructing this drasha. Again, as I mentioned from the beginning, you know, how real is this drasha? You know, I'm not sure if it's fair to say, because it seems more of an asmachta. Right, and it's not a real quote of the pasuk. The pasuk says kein taaseh l'shorcha litzoncha. In the meantime, however, epochana, the Gemara says as long as we're going to treat this like a real drasha, so why don't I reverse it? Meaning, as long as I don't know what to assign bikurim to and what to assign bechor adam to. So why don't I say that the animal, the large animal, is 30 days, and the smaller animals 50 days? Mistabra demiktam lemiktam demeacher ledemeacher. So the Gemara says, well, let's keep everything in order. In the first pasuk, it's first bikurim, then bechor adam. In the second pasuk, it's first shor, then sown. Adarabe desamechle ledesamechle. So the Gemara says, well, when we darshan, we also look at contiguity, meaning we look at what's next to what. And you find that the Bechor Adam is right next to the shore. So can we do it that way? So Elam Rava, Amakra, Tase, Hosef Lecha, Kasuv, Asiya Acheres, Vishorcha. The Torah says, Kain Ta'ase Lishorcha. The word Ta'ase is extraneous, and you're going to do for your shore. Meaning that there's more to do for a shore than there is for its own. What does it mean, more to do? Meaning, as the owner of the shore, you're going to have more responsibility. By its own, the number of days that you have to watch it is going to be X, and then for sure, X plus whatever. It's more. The Ema Shisin, so the Gemara says, well, once we're saying more, so then go crazy, go 60 days, meaning maybe it's X plus X, and we know X is 30. So the Gemara says, Lo Mr. Chakasav El Chachamim. So the Gemara says the determination of the actual number of days is handed over to the Chachamim. Now, what the Gemara could mean over here, again, I'm just making suggestions. Gemara could simply mean that, first of all of this is just an asmachta. In other words, all of this is not really limudim, it's not a real drasha, it's just an asmachta ba'alma. That's one possibility. Another possibility in terms of what the Gemara could mean is that, no, really, there is a period of time that you have to take care of the animal. The Torah doesn't actually give a number. There are hints and allusions, but in other words, the Chachamim are the determinants of what that number actually is going to be. Meaning, fundamentally, it is a mitzvah min haTorah for you to watch it. It's a chiyuv min haTorah, but the Chachamim can determine what the actual number is. We find this by Chol HaMoed, right? Chol HaMoed, which malachas can we do, which malachas can we not do? Torah is not clear, meaning we know that there's some form of Issa Malacha. So some people say that really is an Issa Malacha, but the Chachamim make that determination of what which ones we can and which ones we cannot do. Maybe the same thing over here, perhaps. Okay.
What is the basis of this comparison that compares? Where is it coming from that they can compare Shore with this?
When you read the Torah, I'd read that pasuk over and over again. I never would have come out with 50 and 30. Right. It's as far as allusions go, it's a very deep allusion, meaning it's not really pasuk pshat at all. Tanya mi achi b'chor banecha titen li kein tasa letzoncha yocha af l'shorcha tamalomar tasa. Hosef l'cha kasav asiyah cheres b'shorcha. Lo mitzracha kasav ala l'chachamim. Good. We have a brisa. Brisa says the exact same thing. That really, it is. There's an extra amount of time that you have to watch your shore. How much is that extra time? The Chachamim will determine. Lo misra chakasav ala chachamim. Mikan amru ad kama yisrach hayavim litepa bebechor bebehem adakash shloshim yom ubegasa chamishim yom. Okay. And Rabbi Yossi omer bedakash shloshim chadashim ibnei shetefula meruba tanim ibnei shishineh adakos. Now, Rav Yossi says that it's not 30 days, but it's rather 3 months. Now, we have two explanations. It seems to be two versions of the Braisa. Okay, one is Shetfula Meruba. It needs more attention. Fine. And another one is Shineha Dakos. Its teeth is very very thin, right? Which would seem to indicate, right, what I indicated earlier, that it can't eat yet. Right? The whole idea over here really, in other words, again, as I mentioned from the beginning of the Mishnah, the whole idea over here is that it needs to nurse. Newborn baby needs to nurse. And the basic idea over here is that how long does it need to nurse? So the Tanakhama is of the opinion 30 days. Rav Yossi over here, see, I guess the idea is that it really could stop nursing after 30 days, but its teeth aren't really developed. It's not really going to be able to eat as of yet. So consequently, what comes out over here is that you gotta wait even more, 3 months. It's interesting. According to Rav Yossi, is he not buying the Asiya, meaning it says, right, Ta'asel Ashur. And we've seen now both the Amora and the Brisa say that by Ashur there has to be extra. So is he not buying into that? Because he's saying that when it comes to the Tzon, 3 months. And we don't know, as you pointed out, we don't know what his opinion is regarding Ashur. Is he demanding that the Ashur be longer than that because of the Tasa? Or he disagrees with that part of the Brisa? Unclear.
Yeah, but the issue of, remember the previous sugya that we had in terms of, you know, the wall coming off, the idea was that they didn't want to delay the bringing of the Avamah.
Right. But this is all, keep in mind, this is all bizmanenu, meaning when it's not being brought as a carbon. The whole discussion of the Gemara over here is only when it's not a carbon. So, right, so now the only issue is that you're going to have to anyway wait till it develops a blemish, and the baby needs to nurse from its mother, so you have that responsibility now to watch it until the nursing period is over, either 30 or 50 days.
Well, why do you care that the baby will be able to eat and have teeth and so on? It's going to be a sacrifice anyway. So
this is all bizmanenu. This is not going to be offered as a carbon. It's only being described as a bechor after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Okay. Continuing, im amar lo akoyin besochas mantanel harei ze lo yitain lo my timer. Okay, he comes over to you nowadays, and he says to you, do me a favor. Here, hand it to me. I'll take care of it. I'll take it from this point forward. I'll take care of it. So don't. So my time, I'm Rav Sheshes Mimnation, Nira Kikoin, and Messiah Bebes Agranos. Because here's the story. He's coming over to you, and he says he'll take care of it. It's like he's working for you. It's like you're paying his wages. Meaning, you primarily have the responsibility to take care of it for 30 to 50 days. Okay? That's your primary responsibility. Now, you hand it over to a Kohen, it's as if, meaning, if you hand it over to the Kohen, it now becomes his, and that's the end of the discussion. But because you have that primary responsibility, it's as if you're basically hiring him as a hand. In other words, to watch it for you until the completion of 30 or 50 days. And then, how do we view that exchange? That exchange of Bechor could be in lieu of wages. Now, this is a big no-no. You can't have a Kohen work for you and pay him for his services using Truma.
If it's going to be his and you're giving it to him to be his, why is it wages? It's his. Why are you paying him wages?
So yeah, that's why the Gemara, you read the Gemara carefully. Shinira kekohen amesai bebeis agranos. It has, in this particular case, it gives off the appearance. In this case, you're right. It's not actual wages, but it's very close to looking like and resembling like wages. And once we're talking about real wages, so that now you are violating an Isser. Now, what that Isser actually is, we'll talk more about in just a moment.
Is he transferring ownership at this point?
Of course. In other words, you're right. I'm not arguing with you. You're absolutely right. But because it's your primary responsibility to watch it for 30 days, and let's say 2 weeks after the baby's born, the Kohen comes over and you say, here, I'll give it to you. Those next 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, you still really have the primary responsibility to take care of it. It looks like it's as if he's washing it to you for you for the next 2.5 weeks, and that transfer was reimbursement, was wages. You're right, it's not, but it's near it. It looks that way. And the Chachamim don't want, not for sure, not to use Truma for wages, and they don't even want to look like you're giving him wages as well. I understood this again. This whole this. Or no, after 30, 50 days, you can give it to a Kohen even without a mum.
I understand.
Right.
Why doesn't it appear also that it's like
this influencing his decision? That's the way he says
it. Because now the Kohen has to take care of it.
Right, but specifically in this case, because of your main responsibility, the Chachamim sanctioned you, the owner, to wash it for 30, 50 days. Once you give it to him early, it looks like now he's washing it for you until the completion of term, and the rest. And now that's considered compensation. Tanu Rabbanan Akohanim Valavim Va'aniyim Ha'misayim Beveis Aron Beveis Agronos Beveis Hamitbachaim Einosin Lahem Chuma Umaiser Bischaran. You cannot have a Kohen or a Levi or a poor person work for you, and you pay for him using matanos, using gifts. You can't do that. So v'im osin kein chilolo. Now, if you do that, you've profaned, meaning that it's not the that wasn't the game plan. The game plan was that it should be a matana. What's a matana? A gift. A gift is not an exchange, right? Wages is an exchange of money for services. But that's not the idea behind matanos. Matanos means gifts. So you can't, you the owner of the truma, not the owner, but the custodian, the trustee of the truma and the meiser, and the meiser ani, you have to give it as a gift. Once you get any services in return, that's it. It's not your mechala. V'aleim ha-kasav omer shichatem bris ha-levi. You have destroyed the covenant of the Levi. It's a pasuk not out of Chumash. The omer v'es kasha b'nei Yisrael lo sischalu v'lo samusu. And as far as kasha b'nei Yisrael are concerned, don't profane them, and so that you should not die. Now, sounds like from our Gemara over here that this is a serious prohibition. We are throwing around words like misa. Now, misa over here, of course, does not mean actual capital punishment. We're not talking about that. But we're definitely speaking on some serious nature. So I might have thought that it doesn't involve an element of misa. So the Gemara says it is. The second pasuk from Parshas Korach is coming to tell me that there is an element of misa. Now Tosus points out. Take a look at the third Tosus on the Amud. V'chitem amisa lo samalamer lav davka de lo chashle beperek elohen and nesrafim b'hadi elusha b'misa. It's not. We're not talking about real misa. Ella karav hu la'avon misa. We're just simply trying to give some sort of quantification of how serious an offense it is. It's not actual misa, but it's Tosfos' language is karav hu la'avon misa. We're something in that ballpark. We're there. Okay, so by giving away truma meiser ani in exchange for services, meaning not treating it as a matana, but treating it rather as schar, as wages, so that is you're profaning. Uvikshu chachamim lekohen sam lios mafrishim aleim truma. Now here's what the chachamim would have loved to have done. It's great. The Gemara over here is telling us like the wishes of the chachamim. The chachamim say, "I wish we could do the following, which is lekohen sam lios mafrishim aleim truma mishalem or mishalahen." However you want that gears to go. Meaning the Chachamim wished that if you would have given Truma in exchange for services, the Chachamim would turn to you, point to you and say, do it again. Do Truma again. That's what the Chachamim would love to have done, but the Chachamim would not do that. Why not? Basically, you're right. Dilma asila afrushem and apatur alachiyav, because it'll just lead to tremendous confusion. Because the second time that you take off truma, is that real truma? No, that's kenas truma. That's penalty truma. But it doesn't have a real shame truma. Rashi explains, what's going to happen is, that second truma, you're going to think, oh, this is real truma? Good. I will take truma in order to potter that field over there, that grain over there. Not understanding that this isn't real truma, this is kenas truma. It doesn't work. It's not going to potter that field over there, and it'll just simply lead to too much confusion. Chachamim would love to penalize you, just couldn't.
It would be like too much.
Yeah, you're right.
Rabbi, this was the whole thing so the favorite Cohen in the town, you know, he would.
Yeah, this would turn.
Wait!
It only gets more. It only gets a little more complicated. Over kulan, now I don't mean to make it complicated, but over kulan yeshbem tovas hanat. Now, here we explain to you what you can't do. You can't have a Cohen work for you, and you can't use the truma as wages. That's a given. And your karav lamisa. And the chachamim even wished to have penalized you. They just couldn't find a way to do so. So, but what you do have is you do have Tovas Hana'a, right? And Tovas Hana'a is very simply, it's allocation, it's power of allocation. You, right now, the trustee, the custodian of the Truma and Meiser, can determine who it's going to go to. Now, yes, it could turn into a popularity contest. It could be that the, you know, the favorite coin of the is gonna be receiving from everybody. It could very well be. You know, how is it that this is going to turn into an equitable distribution amongst all the Kohanim? Okay, The system is not a. The system needs divine help, which I'm sure it gets. So Tovas Hana'a Labalim. Now remember, any time that you have power of allocation, we've discussed this many times, that is a value. You can't ignore the fact that it's value. If you can decide where money is going to go to, that's going to have a value to it. Ask any politician, right? Is there a value to determining where that tax money is going to go to? Obviously, in fact, some politicians understand that all too well. That's correct. So, okay. You're right. However, in halacha, when it comes to truma, so you can accept money in order to help you decide and determine where the truma is going to go to. Now, here the payout cannot come directly from the kohen himself, because again, that's chilul, because it's got to be a matan, it's got to be a gift. It's got to come from a third party. And that third party can be a family member, can't be a Kohen. Okay? Can be a family member, can't be a Kohen. How is that going to work? So the Gemara. Tovas Hana'a Labalim Keitza Yisrael Shehir for Shema Mikiryo. A Yisrael who's about to separate Shema from his pile. Umatzi Yisrael Acher V'Amarlo Heilach Zela Zevetaneo LeBen Biti Kohen. Do me a favor, I got a grandson who's a Kohen, so here's a dollar. Okay, a little bit more than a dollar, a sella, right? It is a significant amount of money. And do me a favor, could you just make sure that this truma gets to my grandson? Now, I'm not a Kohen, right? And my grandson is, and that's very simple. My daughter married a Kohen. So, yes, but we won't call it a bribe. You're correct. It is... It's because, right, it's Tovas Hana'a. In other words, that has a value. It has a real value. And what the Gemara is just simply doing is showing us, is demonstrating to us that, in fact, it does have a value. And you can capitalize on that value. You have that permission to do so. Mutter, imaya kohen le kohen aser. Now, even as a kohen, you can't do that for another kohen. Meaning, even if you're not the recipient, but you can't do that. Vatana my time alone. I'm sorry. Period. Okay? Good. So you can't use truma as wages. It's great. We're just like getting into like a very basic discussion about the nature of truma. You can't give it as wages, but what you can do is you can accept money in order to determine allocation, but that money has to come from Yisrael. It can't come from another coin. Now Vatana my time alo kamar matnos kahuna. Father-in-law could give directly to us. What his? Can he give directly? Sure, because we're now talking about exactly. Right, right. In other words, now he's going to go to another farmer and say, "Look, do me a favor. My son-in-law could use them, so he can pay. He can pay somebody else. So amalcha. So kahuna amalcha. I'm sorry." Now, this is a discussion in the world of Truma. Why not mention this by other Manos Kahuna as well? Here's the problem. Well, before we go up with the problem, here's what's good about Truma. Truma's Kedushas Aguf. It is intrinsically sanctified. You can't redeem Truma. We all know that. We all understand that. So by Truma, when I'm paying somebody to earmark and to allocate this truma to another kohen, be it anybody else, being my grandson, so we all understand. All I'm doing is just directing the truma. I am not redeeming the truma. We all understand that. However, if I chose another matnos kahuna, if I chose, let's say, for example, Zrola Chai V'Keva, and there people may think that what I'm doing is not redirecting, but actually redeeming it. People will think that. Why will people think that? Because it doesn't have intrinsic value. Remember, after the Kohen gets Zro L'chai V'keva, what could the Kohen do with it? Whatever he wants, including selling it. So I might have thought that if I'm giving somebody money to direct its destination, I'm redeeming it. So the Gemara says, so that's why this action of determining allocation and considering allocation by giving a little bit of money, that can only be done by Truma. And what's the problem with that? Meaning, yes, let's think about this. So what's wrong with that? So people will think that it's deconsecrated. So what? So the Gemara says, because the Kohen's going to treat it minhag dechulin, in an inappropriate fashion, in a mundane fashion. Now, what exactly does that mean? So Rashi makes the following comment. Rashi says, look, when the Kohen gets the Zroch Chai V'keva, so he should eat it. Rashi writes, not only should he eat it, but he should eat it with royalty and with dignity. What does that mean, with royalty and with dignity? So you remember the Gemara that we did. Rashi quotes it. Shelo ya'ochlam b'tzli uvechardal. The best way to eat meat is roasted. Okay, that's the most dignified way to eat it. And with mustard. If you have now given the impression that I've deconsecrated it and that it has no longer any value to it whatsoever, no kedusha to it whatsoever, so people will eat it in an undignified and non-monarchy manner. Amar Rava. The remainder of today's daf is dedicated to the topic of Truma of Chutz La'aretz. Now, Truma of Chutz La'aretz, right, we give Truma here. In Boca? Not exactly. So when we talk about Truma of Chutz La'aretz, so where are we right now? Where are we in the world that we're talking about giving Truma outside? Huh? Yeah, how did the Gemara get to this discussion? Well, because we are talking about Bechor Bezman Hazeh, so the Bechor requirement is applicable wherever you are, right? Bechor applies even Boca Raton, Florida. As far as Truma of Chutz La'aretz is concerned, so we could be talking about next portions of the land of Israel, like Syria, where there the requirement to take off Truma is only a din d'rabbanan, not a din d'araisa. Okay. And it seems to be from the Gemara that they were even describing Bavel as well, as there's a requirement to take off Truma, at least rabbinically. Okay. I'm not exactly sure how that works. But in the meantime, however, Truma Chutz La'aretz, Ein Ba Mishum Kohen. Hamisai Beveis Agranos. So number one, this halacha that we quoted, that you can't pay a Kohen for collecting Truma, right? In other words, because it's no longer a matana, it's now wages. That doesn't apply for Truma Chutz La'aretz. Rav Chama Yaev Le L'Shameh. Now, Rav Chama would actually give it to his attendant, meaning take off Truma and actually hand it to his attendant. Amar Shmuel Truma Chutz La'aretz Betila Berov. Not only that, another aspect about Truma Chutz La'aretz, which is that it's Batal Berov. Now, in the world of Truma, how much do you need in order to affect Bittul? 1 to 100. What the Gemara now is saying is, with Truma Chutz La'aretz, you don't even need 1 to 100. A simple majority is all you're going to need. And then what? The Gemara is not clear. Rashi writes, Betel Berov, La'ochla Lazar. Rashi says, once you have Batal Berov, now anybody can eat it. Meaning the truma is so disregarded at that point in time, it could be even consumed by a non-Kohen. Tosos says no. Tosos writes, Trumas Chutz La'aretz Batel Berov, Lahatir LaKohen Tameh. No. It's not that we're just going to simply disregard the truma. All it means is that a Kohen can eat it in the state of Tuma. Rav Huna bar Rav Yeshua Kimas Ramalei Chamer de Truma Havei Rami Trei Not Le De Chulin V'Chada Not Le De Truma V'Shakol Chad Mikan Ve'Elech Rami Chada V'Shakol Chada. The Gemara tells us that Rav Huna would actually do this, meaning he would. By the way, now I'm sorry. Backtrack for just one moment. The Gemara says it pretty clearly, meaning Amar Shmuel Trumas Chutzaretz Betila Berov, Rabba Mevatla Berov, Rabba, I think I skipped this line, Rabba actually nullified it with his hands, V'ochala Bimei Tumas, and eaten in a state of Tumma. Yeah, that's, it sounds like Tosfos.
That was a Kohen.
And, right, Rashi makes this point also, that Rabba was a Kohen, he was from the house of Eli, but it sounds like Tosfos. Well, I don't know, what's Rashi going to do with that line of Gemara? Okay. Okay, anyway, Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua, so when he would have wine from Chumas Chutz Ha'aretz, so here's what he would do. He would mix in together two cups, tray natle. Natle is a cup, Netilas Yadayim, right? We learned this back in Chulin, that natle is an Aramaic, a cup. So he would mix two cups of Chulin together with one cup of Chuma. He would take one out. He would remove one. Sounds like Rabbi Eliezer speaking over here. V'shachocha mikan v'elech rami chad v'shachochada. So in other words, basically he would be mevatel the truma with his own hands.
What's the purpose? What was he trying
to do? So that he would be able to eat it in a state of tumah. Yeah, normally we can't do that, but it is here talking about only nisa derabanan, only something which is rabbinically forbidden. So something which is rabbinically forbidden, we have a little more maneuvering. That's what the Gemara here says. Amar Shul Gemara in the beginning of Beitza also indicates that as well. That if something's only also midrabanan, so then you could also be mevatel biyadayim. Although I think the matter is more complex than the way we suggested. But for now, Amar Shmuel Chumas Chutz Ha'aretz Ochel V'Holech V'Achar Kach Mafresh. Another thing that you could do with Chumas Chutz Ha'aretz that there is no way you would be able to do with real Chuma, which is you could start eating and then take off Chuma later. You can't do that. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael with real Chuma, it's Tevel. The first thing you got to do is take off truma, and then and only then can you eat it. Here, you could do that. V'amr Shmuel ein trumas chutz ha'aretz asura ela b'misha ha'tuma yotze alav migufo. Another thing regarding trumas chutz ha'aretz, another leniency, which is we know that a tummy person can eat real truma, right? Absolutely forbidden chiv misa for a tummy kohen to eat truma. Trumas chutz ha'aretz can be eaten by somebody who has a mild tuma. Mild tumma, what's a mild tumma? In this context, it means a tumma that does not emanate from your own body. A zav, a zava, a nida, a yolades. Those are tummas where the tumma comes out of his body, meaning he's tummy as a result of a discharge. So, shatum yotzalam migufa, vahani mila v'achila v'abanigia leislanba. Even for that person who has the tumma hayotzim migufo, let's use a nida as an example. You'll see why in a second. I chose that as an example. So a woman's anida, she's tameya, and it's tamei yotze migufa. She's tamei because she had a discharge. So it's true that if, let's say, she's married to a kohen, she can't eat the trumas chutz ha'aretz, but she can touch it. And that's fine. Amar avina hilkach, nida kotza chala v'ochala kohen katan. V'yilek a kohen katan shakala b'reish masa v'shaji b'tanura v'hadam efarsha chala achrina ki echadol tishakech toros chala v'ochala kohen gadol. So the Gemara indicates that if you have, let's say, a woman who's anida, she can separate challah from her dough outside of Eretz Yisrael. She's going to be handling it. That's fine. First of all, even somebody whose tummy can eat it, as long as it's not tumah yotze migufo. And so what she'll do is she'll separate challah. Then she'll either give it to a minor, simply because we know for sure that he did not have a seminal discharge, so therefore he's allowed to eat it. Or she'll burn it. The Gemara describes shaji b'tanur v'hadam efarsha. I'm sorry. Shakla b'reish masa. She'll use the head of a shovel and she'll throw it into the oven and burn in the oven. Right? Sounds a lot like what we do nowadays. Rav Nachman v'Rav Amon v'Rami Bar Chama have a ka'azle ba'arva. We'll finish today with a story. Rav Nachman, Rav Amon, Rami Bar Chama, right? Three greats of Bavel were on a boat. Salik Rav Amram La'afnuye. I know it's like we're getting a lot of detailed information over here. Rav Amram needed to excuse himself. Okay, Asai Hahi Isasa Allah Kamaihu. Along comes a woman. Amr Lahu.
Along comes what?
A woman. Amr Lahu Tame Meis Mal Shetecha VaOchel Truma Chutz Aretz. I wonder. Can someone who's a Tame Meis, can that person eat Shumas Chutz Ha'aretz? Now, so far, what have we said? That the answer is yes. As long as the tumah does not come out of your body, right? Zav, zav, anida, yoledes, so you're allowed to eat Shumas Chutz Ha'aretz. So she asks, what about Tumas Meis? You understand her question. Look, I understand Tumas Meis doesn't come out from your body, but that is, in the world of Tumah, the highest level of Tumah. So maybe that's barred. That person's going to be barred from eating Tumas Chutzaretz. Amalei Rav Nachman, lo amei barchama, v'chi hazah yesh lanu. So, in true Jewish form, the answer comes in the form of question. We don't have Paro Aduma nowadays. So the person who's Tamei Meis, like all of us in the room right now. So the person who's Tamei Meis, we have no solution. We take a look at the top Rashi, Bizmanazeh, the Kemadeh Nachshav Hazav, Bizmanazeh, Harishamish Nami Lobayim. So there's no Takana, there's no remedy. So essentially what Rav Nachman is saying is, it's not a problem. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Before being so quick to give an answer, remember who was on the boat with them? So Rav Amram was on the boat with them. And he stepped out for a moment in order to use the facility. So why don't we wait for him to come back? Apparently he was the elder statesman of the boat. So Lechosh Le Saba Dahaki Asa Rav Amran Amalachu Hachi Amarav Tamimes Tovel the Ochel Bichuma Chutzaretz. So you tovel on the mikvah and you eat chumas chutzaretz right away. Okay, and you're toveling because yeah. Okay, it's a fair question. I'm with you. I'm asking the same question, and the tefillah is there to. Yeah, but also this is Tumas Meis, so the tefillah doesn't help you. The tefillah doesn't help you at all.
Maybe it's on the seventh day.
But. Without the sprinkling of the paraduma, that tefillah doesn't do anything. Or I'm wrong about my presumption. Okay, I need more information about that. So tova va'ocha b'truma chutzaretz v'leisa chasak avase damar mar zorcha mishmei derav sheshet tamisheretz tova va'ocha b'truma chutzaretz v'leisa chasak avase. So the Gemara tries to object by quoting mar zorcha, and mar zorcha says in the name of sheshet that a tamisheretz Tovels and eats the truma in chutzah aretz, but the Gemara points out, but the halacha doesn't fall like that, meaning that's not correct also. So in other words, essentially, if you're tumas aretz, you can eat trumas chutzah aretz right away. And what the Gemara is essentially saying is, so even by tamei meis, you don't have to wait until nightfall. All you have to do is just simply is tovel, and you can eat it right away. Now, this was obviously a significant tangent from our discussion over here, but I guess part of the segue is we're talking about Bechor Bezmanazer, so we talked about other forms of Truma Bezmanazer. Good. Started the fourth parak of Bechoros today. We talked about the waiting period in which you have to hold on to your Bechor. This whole discussion is only Bezmanazer, where it's not going to be offered as a carbon. So therefore, let the animal finish nursing, basically, 30 or 50 days. According to Rav Yossi, 3 months for a smaller animal. The Gemara learned it out from Psukim. Okay, not exactly sure how we're going to define that or describe that. And then the Gemara moved on to a great discussion about what can you do with Truma? You can't use it as wages. You cannot pay off a Kohen or a Levi with Truma or Meiser. But essentially what you can do is, it has Tovas Hanah, which is a value, and you could basically receive money in order to help your decision in terms of who's going to receive it. And then the Gemara digressed to discuss a little bit about Trumas Chutzah Aretz. What do you do with Truma outside of Eretz Yisrael? Okay, to stop over here tonight, right after Maariv, after completion of Maariv, I believe Matthew told me we're going to be meeting in the social hall.